demonstration, if you want to call it that, of service, selfless service. It didn't matter how tired they were, how hungry they were, they never showed it to us. We thought that they were, you know, that they were the kind of people that didn't need food or sleep or anything, but just serving Baba. And we weren't at all wrong about that. They do require food once in a while. We found that out tonight. They just had dinner with them. But that, even that doesn't come ahead of serving Baba in their lives. So we saw this example, and we thought at first, you know, being beginners, so to speak, we thought perhaps that they were just so loving. And how kind and how generous they were with their time and their efforts and everything. And we thought they were doing it for us. And then it suddenly dawned on us that this was the way they were serving Baba. And that didn't quite set entirely right, because we wanted to think they were doing it for us. So we finally realized that they were serving Baba and us. And this is what we all have to learn to do, because we can't serve Baba and fail to serve all others as well. And we can't fail to love others and serve them and not serve Baba at the same time. So this is one of the things we learned from Adi and Broda. Their strength, we have no idea how deep or how total their love is for Baba. Only Baba knows that. They don't even know that. But when I introduced them in the beginning as real Baba lovers, I meant that in its greatest sense. And so, Adi and Rhoda, I'll say to you that by the same token, we want you to meet some real Baba lovers. Now, we'll have our little opening as usual. We don't have David here to divide us, but I think we can do this all right. You three gentlemen. Adi tried to beg off when we first came in here. He said, you know, Rhoda's the mouthpiece of the family. And this was just a very tricky way of trying to just sit back and relax and not have to... I'm sorry, Rhoda. He said, Rhoda is the mouthpiece of the family. And so I thought, well, you're not going to get away with this. So I'm sure that Rhoda is probably, I'll accept your word for that. I'm sure she is a very good speaker. But this isn't a speaking engagement. This is just family sitting in a rather unorthodox living room, orthodox living room, I should say. So without any further remarks, I'd like you to listen very carefully to whatever Rhoda and Adi have to offer, because it will be well worth your remembering. Incidentally, there's several of us are on vacation now, and some will be here tomorrow night that are not able to come tonight. And tomorrow night we'll be meeting in the room across the hall, the larger room, because all of Baba, local Baba groups will be present. So you'll know to gather there. So,
Jai Baba.
Jai Baba.
First I must... Okay. No, I want to thank Andy and Peg very much for their lovely hospitality and kind invitation that they sent us. And we are delighted to be here with them and, of course, with our dear family, Baba family. And we always remember Peg and Andy with so much love and always think of them, even though we are so many thousands of miles away. And meeting them when we met them for the first time in 69 was a great pleasure for us and a delight. And we can never forget those days that we spent together in his love. Now Adi wants to say something, then we can start.
Jai Baba.
Jai Baba.
It is always a pleasure to be amongst Baba children, and they be young or old. In our family, we have division of portfolios according to one's ability and liking, and speaking being one of them. When I say speaking, I refer to oratory, the art of oratory, which is the sole monopoly of my wife, Rhoda.
You've just disproved that.
Yeah.
I am an illiterate lover of Baba.
We all are.
By an illiterate lover, I mean unread, down-to-earth person who has not mastered the intellectual gymnastics, the art of intellectual gymnastics. I believe in being practical and just doing what Baba says without any questioning, why or wherefore. Once Eris told me that Baba had said, this time my message will come from the West. And it appears that he has chosen you all to spearhead and project his message. The work being done by you, selfless work by many of you, is really praiseworthy and unique. The results achieved are so tremendous. That it gives you a feeling of self-satisfaction, a feeling of elation, and you really feel happy that you spent your time and energy in a wonderful cause. I congratulate you all. But, there's a small but. We must not stop here. We must not stagnate here on this road to spreading his message. There's one more step that has to be taken. And if we do that with the required intensity of love, faith, and obedience, it becomes our pleasure to walk forward because we are doing that which Baba wants us to do. And what is he wants us to do? What is it Baba wants us to do? Baba has said, the best way to spread my message of love and truth is to live it, which is a little more difficult than just spreading his love by means of mass communication, radio, television, books, posters. Living it is a little more difficult. Now you will say, how shall we do it? There are a million and one ways of doing it. For an illiterate lover of Baba, I believe in being practical. Take any one segment of your life and live it as Baba wants you to. I mean, go through with it even if the heavens fall. You're determined to do it. And you will see that many things fall into place. You've got a single purpose of achieving that goal only. But in doing that, so many things fall into place. And in the end, you will see you achieve much more than you ever bargained for. But sincerity of purpose should be there. I've told Andy, and I tell you all also that I am no speaker. I'm not chiseled out to be a speaker. But when requested, I make an attempt. See, a true Baba lover is like a signpost. He's a constant reminder to those around that this is how Baba wants you to live the life. He is no camp follower. A Baba child is no camp follower. He is a trendsetter. Baba says that friends, I quote Baba, friends, if you want others to love me, don't merely give them my books and messages to read, but live the life of sacrifice that others automatically love me. Jai Baba.
Jai.
Now the mouthpiece of the family.
Jai Baba. Before I begin, I want to ask you that we are going to meet today also and tomorrow also. Most of you will be here tomorrow also.
Yes.
Then, since we are an intimate Baba family, I would today like to tell you, most of you have met me for the first time. So I would like to start with how I met Baba. And yes, I see that everybody wants that. How I met Baba, how I heard about Baba for the first time, how I met him, and how in the end I accepted him as the avatar, God in human form. So I would like that today I should talk about that, and tomorrow then we will continue with the rest of the love story. So today we start with the beginning of the love story. Every individual who comes to Baba, it is an individual's love story. No story is the same, no individual is the same, no approach is the same. You meet hundreds and thousands of Baba lovers and you ask them how you met Baba, it is always a different story. The same beloved, but a different story always. So I will begin with my story, how I met Baba. Before I say it, let me introduce myself, that we belong to the Zoroastrian community, the Parsis, the same community in which Baba, this time as the avatar, has taken birth. It is a known fact, it is a historical fact, that the avatar, whenever he takes human form in whichever community, that community always persecutes him. And so the Zoroastrian community is a very small community in the whole world, but it is a community that is, majority of it is anti-Baba. And I grew up as a child in this community with the anti-element prevalent. So that is the introduction that I want to give. So, that God exists, I firmly believed, but that he can exist in the human form and that Mer Baba is the God in human form, I did not know, nor had anybody ever told me so. Of course, I was told about the impersonal aspect of God, but what was I told? That if I did anything wrong, God will punish me. I grew up with fear of God in me. I looked upon God with awe. Nobody told me about loving God. When I was 20 years old, one day I was in deadly danger. And instinctively, I called out to God for help. Still the impersonal aspect of God. Simultaneously with my calling, the help came and the danger was past. In an instant, the danger was past. That confirmed my belief in God, still the impersonal aspect of God. Then one day, I met Mer Baba in this life. And still a few years later, one fine morning, I got up and I knew that conviction dawned in me. That revelation was given to me that Baba is God in human form. And so now I begin with my life with Mer Baba. So as a child, because I belong to the Parsi community, as a child I had heard of Baba, but always the anti-side. Because we had for our neighbor a Parsi lady who was an ardent disciple of Mer Baba. And in those days in the town of Karachi where I lived, the Parsi community was about 2,000 and out of which about 4 or 5 people only were the disciples of Mer Baba. So I grew up in this atmosphere where my neighbor was an ardent disciple of Mer Baba. But it so happened that one day this lady's husband died of burst appendix within 24 hours. And a few months later, the lady died in childbirth. And so the whole Parsi community sort of made an uproar. You see what happens if you are the disciples of Meher Baba? You see you die in childbirth. You see you die of burst appendix. Funny, today when we look at it, it is so funny because normally everybody, there are hundreds and thousands who die in childbirth and who die of burst appendix. But as a child, this had fallen on my ears and I grew up with that impression. So you can imagine my shock when one day by accident I found that my fiancé, Adi Dubash, with whom I had been going regularly for 6 years, believed in Meher Baba. I couldn't wait for him to come that day, and I just pounced on him. And I said, Adi, what is this I hear, that you believe in Meher Baba? He said, of course. I said, you never told me. He said, well, you never asked me. That night was the worst night that I had ever spent in my life. I tossed and turned and cried. The pillow was wet with tears. I didn't know what to do, whom to turn to, where to go, because I didn't want to get involved in this Meher Baba business. Neither did I want that I should be anywhere near him. As dawn approached, I had made up my mind. I loved Adi. I will marry him. But I will see that he doesn't go to Meher Baba, but he goes in the opposite direction. So that was the decision that I had made. You have to say anything about it?
It just didn't work.
Well, between the time, this happened sometime in February 45, and 1st July 1945 was our wedding day. So in between this time, Adi, his mother, who was a disciple of Meher Baba, and a cousin of Adi, Minu, who had grown up with them as their own, like their own brother, these three would sometimes sit and talk about Meher Baba. Etiquette demanded that I should sit and listen. I couldn't very well walk out of the room when somebody was talking.
Especially and so the mother-in-law.
And so I listened. And listening, one day the thought comes to me that here are people who have seen Meher Baba, who have been with Meher Baba, and they are giving me completely a different picture from what I had as a child. So whom to believe? These people who had seen Baba, who had been with him, or the people of our community who didn't even have the moral courage to find out what was right and what was wrong. I mean, that thought just came to me. And as 1st July approached, to this day, of course, I don't know why, but sitting in Karachi one day, I sent a silent challenge to Meher Baba. Meher Baba was somewhere in India, 1,000 miles away. But sitting in Karachi, no words spoken, nothing written, but just here, I said to Meher Baba, if you are what they say you are, you'll send me heaven's blessings on my wedding day. Now by heaven's blessings, I mean a little rain. Little rain. And as a child, I had always wanted that God should bless my wedding and that he would send a little rain and I would know that God has definitely blessed my wedding. So I sent this silent challenge to Meher Baba. And having sent it, this is important what I'm going to say, having sent it, I completely forgot about it during the hectic days that followed. Now, Karachi, even today, is a desert, in the desert zone. We hardly have any rain, if at all, 1 or 2 inches, and that too in winter. So 1st July Nobody expected rain, and the wedding was fixed outside the lawns of our Parsi club. 1,000 people were invited, and it was going to be a grand affair. No thought of rain or anything. Well, first July dawned. It was a nice, bright, sunny day. But as the time for the wedding came, evening, about 5 or 5:30, suddenly dark clouds started rolling in. And before you could say, "May Baba," the rains came. It rained so heavily that within half an hour, Karachi was flooded. Karachi is never prepared for rain, and this was a torrential rain that within half an hour, Karachi was knee-deep water. You can imagine, out of the 1,000 guests, only 150 turned up for the wedding. So how terrible it must be. The priest refused to come. He had to be literally carried from his house and brought to the ceremony. My wedding sari, a white sari, by the time I got down as a bride from the car, it had red and blue and green all over. The colors had run from the decoration that we had put on the car, and all the colored paper, the colors had run all over my dress. So it was just confusion and chaos. But as we were going in the car, my mother, who was nearly in tears, one of our family friends was with her, and she says to my mother, "Why are you crying? God has come to your daughter's wedding." At that, I suddenly jerked up. I had forgotten about this challenge. At that, I suddenly jerked up. And the thought just flashed in my mind, is it possible? Is it possible that this is Mehr Baba's doing? Or is it just a coincidence? The thought flashed, it came and it went. That was the end. Of course, the rain stopped immediately after the ceremony was over. And I may add here that the next day and the next week and the next month, we had bright sun and no sign of rain at all. It was in December of the same year, 1945, that I found myself going to Ahmednagar to meet Baba for the first time in my life. Adi's mother was with me and his cousin Minu. Our train came into Ahmednagar station about 10 o'clock at night, and Adi Irani was waiting for us, and he said that Baba has given instructions that if they are later than 9 o'clock, you must take the ladies to Lower Mehrabad, and I will see them in the morning. So we went in Adi's car and we came to Lower Mehrabad. And we were just sitting and talking because Baba had retired, the ladies had retired. There was no hurry. And you know, meeting Adi and all, we just were talking. When suddenly somebody shouted, "Baba is coming, Baba is coming." And at 10 o'clock at night, we just tumbled out of the car. And I saw somebody holding a lantern, no electricity, but holding a lantern. And first time in this life, I met Baba, and I saw Baba by lantern light. His hair was flowing. It was a cold day. It was winter night. He was all covered up, wrapped up in warm coat. But his face was so beautiful. I don't remember much of this meeting, but this I remember, that my heart gave a thump, but my mind said, "So this is Mehr Baba." Then Baba said that, "Come on, I will take you to Mummy and me. I will take you to your quarters because it is very late. You can't go up the hill now. The ladies have retired. But I will take you to your quarters at Lower Mehrabad." And so we followed Baba. Baba showed us in a small room. He had somebody roll out our beddings and said, "This is where you will sleep." And at 5 o'clock in the morning, Baba said, "One of the women mandali will come and wake you up, because at 6 o'clock, you have to be ready to go to the cinema with me." Believe me, I expected everything from Sadhguru. But to ask me to be ready at 6 o'clock in the morning and go to the cinema, that was the last thing I ever expected a Sadhguru to tell me at my first meeting. But I accepted it graciously. And of course, 6 o'clock in the morning, we were ready. Two buses came, and to my delight, we were told to get into the bus in which Baba was there. One seat had been kept empty for Mummy and me, and as I looked back, there was Baba sitting two seats behind, about diagonally across me. And I couldn't keep my eyes from his beautiful face. I just wanted to turn back and just keep on looking at him. I remember Mummy nudging me because she felt very embarrassed at my behavior, because I was literally turning around and just keep on staring at me. So I would again sit straight, and then again I would have the impulse to turn and look at Baba. But every time I turned, he had already anticipated my move, and I found him looking directly at me. After the cinema, Mummy and I were called in for a private interview. As I said, I don't remember much of this meeting, but I remember that Baba told me that my nazar is on you. But all the time sitting there, one thing I remember very vividly, that in my head, like a broken gramophone record, it just kept on the thought, you sent me heaven's blessings on my wedding day. You sent me heaven's blessings on my wedding. It just went on. You sent me heaven. No matter how much I tried to thrust it, but it just wouldn't go. And no word was spoken, neither did Baba ever ask me. I didn't speak, but it just went on in my throat. In the afternoon, after lunch, I was sitting with the women monthly talking, when suddenly I felt a deep longing within me to see Baba again. Why I want to tell you is that in our life with Baba, you will find that when really the longing is deep, longing is sincere, the Beloved always responds to it. He says, I am the slave of all my lovers, and that is true. When love calls out, he always responds. So in my heart there came a deep longing to see Baba again. I was tired of this talk, I didn't want to listen, I just wanted to see Baba. And abruptly I got up and went to the window. My going to the window and from outside, Baba turning the corner was simultaneous, and our eyes met for a second. And the longing was eased. Again, goodbyes were said, and it was time to go, when again, once again, this deep longing came within me. This time, just to touch him once again. Of course, I was new, first time, I didn't know, and so I didn't have the courage to say it out or anything of that sort, but that deep longing just to touch him once again before I go. And as I was passing by the gate, Baba was standing by the gate, and as I passed, Baba gently tapped me and stroked my back once or twice. And again, that deep longing was eased. And that was my first meeting with Baba. Now, before I go further, because it is just Sadhguru Mer Baba. I did not accept him as God in human form. In fact, that point I will come. But before I go to it, I want to jump 18 years from here. Because I want to connect this rain episode with something that happened 18 years later. But I want to tell you one thing very clearly, that during my long association with Baba, I had no doubt that Baba had sent his blessings on my wedding day. Never had I spoken to Baba, never had Baba mentioned it. But that conviction that it was his doing and nobody else was there. And second thing is that I did not come to Baba, I did not accept Baba as God in human form because of the rain episode. Far from it. It had never entered my head this was something that would bring me close to Baba. In fact, during these years, once Baba told me, now you are for me 100%. But it was when Baba knew that I was for him and him alone, that one day God had the whim to tell me that it was my doing. And not only did he tell me, but he demonstrated it all over again for me. And that is why I want to jump these and tell you about what happened 18 years later. So it was the year 1963, and we were sitting with Baba at Pune in Guru Prasad, a few of us only, when in walks Sarosh with his son Mehrwan. Mehrwan was getting married, and on the way to Ahmednagar, Mehrwan had expressed his desire to see Baba. Of course, Sarosh was very happy. Sarosh brought Mehrwan to Baba. And Mehrwan said, when Baba asked, yes, what is it? So Mehrwan said, Baba, I want your blessings for my wedding. Baba gestured like this, meaning, I give you. Then he told Sarosh, go back to Ahmednagar, because this was in Pune. Go back to Ahmednagar, have the wedding. And the next day after the wedding, you, Vilu, the bride and the bridegroom, come to me here in Pune. So they went. 2 days later, again we are sitting with Baba. And Baba suddenly tells Iraj, why don't you phone up Sarosh and find out how the wedding preparations are going on? So Iraj phones up. And there Sarosh is shouting, tell Baba, it's raining cats and dogs here, and we had to change the arrangement. The wedding was to be outside, but now we have shifted it into a hall, and so on and so forth. Iraj comes and reports this to Baba. Mind you, I'm sitting there, I'm listening, I'm a witness to it, but it doesn't click. And Baba just accepted it, what Iraj said, didn't comment anything. 2 days later, in walks Sarosh, Vilu, the bride and the bridegroom after the wedding. After the usual greetings, Baba says, well, how did the wedding go off? And Vilu says, Baba, how it rained. So Baba said, well, your son asked for my blessings and I gave it to him. And then Baba was sitting on this chair, and I was sitting exactly parallel to Baba in that corner. And then Baba turned like this and, pointing at me, tells Vilu, ask Rhoda what happened on her wedding day. 18 years later, mind you, I was like this. Because, as I told you, from my heart of hearts, I knew that it was Baba's doing. But to hear it from God himself and to have his stamp of authority that it was my doing, you can't expect me to not to gape. So Iraj says, come on, Rhoda, we are waiting. What happened? And so I started to speak. And as I finished, Baba gestured. And Iraj said, Baba says that you told them what happened, but you did not tell them that after throwing this challenge to me, you forgot about it. Even that small detail, what a mighty beloved we have. Even that small detail, he reminded me of it 18 years later. So, So that is why I had to jump 18 years and to Calcutta. So now we go back, and as I said, that I met Baba, my heart gave a thump, but my mind said, this is my Baba. A year later, I was expecting our first child. The doctor told me that it is going to be a miscarriage. And this time, I wanted help. I needed help. And instinctively, I turned to Baba. It means that he had that impact on my heart. I instinctively turned to Baba and told him once again, only here, not here this time, but here. Nothing in writing, nothing spoken, just here. Baba, I want a child very badly. If you will give me one, I will dedicate him in your service. That was my silent dedication to Baba. Our son was born a full 9 months old baby. At the time of delivery, believe me, I had no thought of Baba. But simultaneously with his birth, there went through my body a wave. Even after 31 years, I can still remember this experience. There passed through my body a wave vibrant with Baba's name, from head to foot. That wave just passed with Baba's name. When word was sent to Baba that a son had been born, we received a telegram, Adi Roda's son to be named Mervan. When Mervan was 1.5 years old, we took him to Baba. We were there with Baba, sitting in front of Baba, and Mervan was there, small 1.5-year-old boy. He was just playing on the carpet as though the room belonged to him, I mean, as babies do. When suddenly Mervan said, Baba, and Baba turned to him. And on that time, Baba had the alphabet board. And on the alphabet board, Baba made out, out of the many on the waiting list, I have selected him. I had a garland of flowers in my hand. Somebody had put it. And I just went up to Baba and silently garlanded him. Mind you, I hadn't written to Baba, I hadn't told, even Adi also didn't know about my silent dedication to Baba. It was only when Baba made out that later on I told Adi about it. So, Baba had taken possession of my heart. I knew that now. And I was ready, as Adi was also, to do anything for Baba. If orders came, we were willing to carry out the orders. But that he is God in human form, it still had never entered my head. Because Baba was still calling himself Sadguru. And the personal aspect of God, nobody had told us about. Neither after meeting Baba had I read. So that personal aspect of God had still not entered my head. And then it was that Jean Adriel's book, The Avatar, came out. I still remember when I first read the word avatar, I kept on asking everybody, what is this word avatar? What do you mean by avatar? Though the caption is under it, that whenever there is a resurgence of evil and injustice in the world, I, the avatar, take human form. I said, who is this avatar who takes human form? I was so ignorant, I had no idea. And then I read the book. And after reading the book, still, I mean, a year or two later, one day, one fine morning, I got up. I got up with a feeling of joy, something beautiful. I walked up to the window and I knew. I had this conviction, this unconditional faith in Baba's divinity just seeped into me, and I knew that Baba is God in human form. And for me, that was the easiest thing to accept. And now, once having accepted Baba as God in human form, I was very eager to meet Baba again and to tell him about this revelation, to tell him and to go to him accepting him as God in human form. But that time, it was the time of the new life. It was impossible to meet Baba, to write to him. Then came news and I had to wait a long time. Then came news of Baba's accident in America. Those were anxious days. And then, suddenly, out of the blues, a telegram comes to us that Baba and Party are coming to Karachi on their way to India from Switzerland. Baba was to go from Switzerland straight to Bombay, but because of an airstrike, their plane had been detoured and they will have to come to Karachi, and from Karachi they will have to catch the connecting flight. The telegram said that only Minu should come to the airport. But I knew that once again Baba had answered my call, and it was for me that Baba was coming to Karachi. Of course, that was my conviction, but there were others also who felt the same thing. Baba is a master psychologist, and in his masterly way he works for everybody. And so when that telegram came, I was convinced that Baba was coming for me and me alone, and I was ready. And sure enough, early morning the call came, and this time I went to Baba, accepting him as God in human form. It was at the Karachi airport. Baba was in the upstairs room. His leg was in the cast. But as I entered the room, he looked as beautiful and as majestic as only God can look. And he just opened out his arms to me, and I just ran in. And that a few hours that Baba was at the airport, I felt such joy and such peace. I remember that I literally was bouncing. I could feel such buoyancy that I could hardly keep my feet on the ground. Such happiness was flooding me. Such joy was flooding through me. Adi and I had taken a basket of fruit for Baba, and I remember we gave it to him, and Baba told one of the women Mandli to put it with the luggage. And the lady said, "Baba, we are already overweight, it is not possible, we can't take it." And I was looking with such pleading eyes at Baba, and Baba says, "No, doesn't matter," he told the Mandli lady. "No, doesn't matter, we have to take it." And the basket was put again with Baba's luggage. It was time for Baba's departure, and he left us. And I remember that as I was returning home, I looked at the people, the usual people going to their usual work, and I wanted to shout out to them and tell them, "Listen, humanity. God is once again amongst us. He was here only a few hours ago, and I was one of the fortunate ones. I was one of the blessed ones to receive his embrace." And that is how I came into Baba's fold. It took me a few years to accept him as God in human form. But once that conviction dawned in me, it has always been there, that he is God in human form, no question about it. So that is my love story of how I came to Baba. And how, having heard as a child the anti-element, how I was fortunate to meet him and to accept him. And having accepted him, the whole tenor of my life, the values in life have completely changed. Life has become beautiful. Life has become wonderful because God has come into our lives. And it no longer holds any fear or anything because God is by our side. So that is my story of how I met Baba. Many people have asked us, how do you know that Mare Baba is God in human form?